broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two at two in the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide, ladies and gentlemen. We don't believe in revolution, but we stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Man, we got a marathon of massive news stories. Kurt Crosby sent me about 3,000 stories. So we're trying to rock through them. A lot of good topics at hand, though. Last hour, we talked about this big old problem Iowa's got. Too many jobs, not enough people. Donald told you so, folks. Wow. And you got 1,000 more shipbuilders. Maybe just a start for General Dynamics hiring. Gotta like that. They are making America great again. Jobs are coming back. I really believe we need to have a moral component to making America great again, but we're starting somewhere. That's for sure. Now, another good news piece, the state of Missouri is in the news, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And what you see is, you know, I guess you've got the headline reads Missouri GOP. Now, if you don't know what that means, ladies and gentlemen, don't be feeling bad, because, you know, most of us have to learn these insider terms. GOP stands for Grand Old Party. Now, what that typically points to is what they call the Republicans. But in my opinion, you know, there's a lot of questions there. But it says Missouri GOP pushing bill to eliminate gun-free zones at colleges and churches. Imagine that, Sam.
Yeah, and I like it, but I'm a little concerned, and I'll tell you why, Kurt. I love the idea. Yeah. I don't believe in gun-free zones at all, personally. However, when we talk about colleges, it makes sense. When it comes to churches, though, a lot of those are private property, Kurt, and you know what? I'm not for gun-free zones, but I do believe churches and private property owners have the right to say what they want on their own property. And so this is kind of where you get a little bit of a collision, and you're going to get a little bit of pushback from me in terms of what does that all mean? And where does one right begin and another right end? And so if I own property, you know what? I can say if I want it to be a gun-free zone or not. I can say, hey, when you come in my house, Kurt, I want you to take off your shoes.
Right.
And you might not like that. You might say, I like my shoes on. I don't want to take off my shoes.
And then you can
it's my house, dude.
Right.
And so I'm just saying I get the colleges, and I get the government places, and I get public places or whatever you want to say. When you start talking about churches or homes or stores or businesses or private property, then I start to kind of say, wait a minute, I'm not so sure they ought to be meddling in that, right? Or meddling in
that's right. You know, I mean, the bottom line is they might be pushing to make people free. You know, maybe they could just... Well, it does say eliminate, so if they could just say, look, no more of this, you know, this law is not here anymore, you know, maybe that's the best way, right?
Yeah, and I hope that happens, and I hope they just simply say, look, we're going to eliminate the mandate for gun-free zones and let you do what you want. Now I'm in.
Yeah, they say the Kansas City Star reported that this bill that was sponsored by State Rep. Jared Taylor, he's a Republican from Nixa. Just in case you know your, you know, Missouri geography. I'm just not familiar with Nixa. But he says he passed the House Rules and Legislative Oversight Committee by a vote of 8-3. That's pretty slam dunky. The chairman of that committee said the problem right now is our gun-free zones where people aren't allowed to carry guns. And this is what this tries to defeat. He added, if I know that I'm going to commit a crime on a college campus and I plan this out, but I don't know who's there carrying a gun or not, I'm probably going to think twice. But if I know for a fact that no one on that campus is allowed to carry a gun, then I have a soft target. and I'm able to do exactly what I want to do within there.
And see, that's exactly the salient point, Kurt, to bring up is what this guy's talking about. He's spot on. Where's the mainstream press to highlight this one for you, Kurt?
Well, they're going to be busy talking about some other things. Maybe, isn't there a ball game or something?
Yeah, like there isn't. Stormy Daniels going to do a striptease on CNN point. Or who knows what's going on, right? Whatever they can.
Something important.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, good for the Missouri GOP pushing bill to eliminate gun-free zones in colleges and churches. I mean, it's a start.
I guess, according to The Hill, by the way, this is clear on the end of the story, but it says The Hill reports that Missouri public colleges, that means government, can currently allow students to carry concealed for self-defense, but none have chosen to do so. Says Taylor's bill fixes that in that it outlaws colleges and universities from establishing gun-free zones. So,
amen.
There you go, Sam.
It's a good start. Missouri taking the lead, and good on them.
The Democrats out there that are kind of opposing this, they say they call it the guns everywhere bill. Schools, churches, bars, college campuses.
Yeah, dig it.
You know, and those guys, they do that to say that it's bad. And I'm thinking, they just don't get the picture, do they, Sam? That
well, they want you to believe that it's like the Wild West, Kurt. Everybody's going to be shooting them up, and it's just going to be crazy. You're going to have to duck while you're eating lunch. And they want you to believe these lies that aren't even true.
I think people are pretty,
respectful.
What would you say? Yeah, pretty kind and gentle when they know that, hey, if they get out of line, there could be some kind of consequences, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Wow.
Imagine that.
Anyway, good for the Missouri folks over there. And the other part of the story, too, is I'm sure there's a lot of inside Democrat or inside Republicans that don't want this bill. There's also a lot of probably pro-Second Amendment Democrats that do want this bill. That's another area
that's
that I think they fail in telling this tale.
Those
you
are
want you to believe it's a Republican against Democrat scenario, and I don't really believe that, Kurt.
Those are some of the different parties, you know, your inside Republicans and then your outside
Republicans, Democrats,
your inside Democrats, your gun, you know, loving Democrats, your, you know, and so who says in America we really have a two-party system? We got like a 30, 40, 50-party system, really, when you have
now, this border chief probably wants to work with Ann Coulter, huh, Kurt?
Well, I think they would probably. This is a DallasNews.com piece, and the headline reads, Border Chief, we're not talking about Native Americans, you know, we used to call them Indians, but, you know, that's when they had chiefs, you know. But this case, it says, Border Chief sets 1,000-mile goal for Trump's wall. It says the administration is aiming to construct a wall along roughly half the U.S.-Mexico border. That's what the nation's border chief said. A 1,000-mile barrier that could fall well short of what President Trump has demanded.
But this is where I think they play games, Kurt. Is it we're going to leave half of it undefended? That's what they want you to believe. Or is it that he's saying, look, let's start somewhere and let's start with this piece before we continue? In other words, I don't have any problem with sub-goals along the way. We got long-term and short-term goals here. And I don't have any problem with that, but they kind of make you believe that, well, even Don's supporters are only going to get half of it done. It's this kind of idea I don't like, Kurt. I don't appreciate it.
Yep. It's a great place to work off your welfare debt, too, huh, Sam?
Amen. Good point. Anyway, there you have it. But I guess border chiefs are on board with Donald, aren't they, Kurt? And they're trying to somehow kind of back their way into minimizing what that really means. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. I just want to tell you the facts.
Good point.
All right. Now, they call this an exclusive. I'm not so sure that it's an exclusive. We're talking about Secretary Ben Carson, Kurt. Now, he's going to do something crazy.
Yeah. the secretary is in the news, you know, and Ben Carson, I mean, just imagine the guy, but... you know, you hardly ever hear about him, but in this case, he's back in the news, Sam. And what you ask is the secretary going to do? Well, he's in charge of what's called the HUD. Now, you know, you're going to have a hard time finding the Housing and Urban Development in the Constitution, but they've somehow smashed it on top of the Constitution now. And he's the secretary of it, or in other words, supposed to be the guy that's in charge of it. I would simply say the unelected bureaucrats that, you know, the swamp monsters are the real guys in charge of it. But he's telling Breitbart News, Sam, that they're going to cooperate very much with the Justice Department. So in other words, I think what he's saying is they're going to keep the laws, Sam. He explained
you mean Ben Carson wants to keep the laws?
I think that's what he said.
Wow, I just can't believe they have guys like that in government, Kurt.
He said it's past time for American citizens, our people, he said, to reap the full benefits of HUD projects. He says what we want to do, obviously, is empower people. That's a major goal that we have. Our people, American citizens, our programs are aimed at that. He says our tremendous emphasis on the, they call it the Section 3 program, but he says, which has been on the books for 50 years, it says if you're receiving HUD money, you have an obligation to hire people of low income in that area, or to train them, or to give contracts to them. It's been largely ignored. He says, we're putting incentives into that to make sure that it's used to develop our people. So imagine, you know, folks that are down on their luck, getting a job, Sam, and
HUD,
some ideas.
HUD is going to cooperate very much with the Justice Department.
Imagine that.
Hey, got to start somewhere. Now, there's a whacked out judge we're going to tell you about in seconds.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Now, while Ben Carson is saying he's going to obey the law and getting attacked all over the country, we've told you there's an out-of-control judiciary. And this rings true in more ways than one, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam, and before we get to this story...
I don't even know how to really respond to this one, by the way.
Yeah, it's a related story. I was watching, I occasionally do this, But on VidAngel, you know, one of our favorite things we like to promote, VidAngel has a series on there. It's just one season so far, so I'm hoping they'll, you know, go ahead and advance and move to the other ones because we finished the one season. But they've got this thing called Blue Bloods. And in this one episode that we watched last night, they found out that this one judge that was basically causing havoc in the courtroom, they found out that, hey, that he was not the upstanding judge that he was supposed to be, Sam. And the bad guys kind of had some stuff on him, and that's why he was kind of letting them slip past. So
all right,
just
so
because
hold on.
Somebody's
Let's just
a
separate
judge,
fact from fiction for a second. So you're watching, what is this movie called?
Blue Bloods.
All right, so is this Blue Bloods a real story, or is it just a...
No, it's just a, you know, a made-up thing, but, right. You know.
So that's made up,
Hollywood.
And Kurt had fun watching it, and he's encouraging you to watch it. Now,
with VidAngel.
Okay. So switching to real news now. This is a real story.
That's right.
Folks. And
that's
I want you to
right.
learn
this
to
is,
separate fact from fiction, because a lot of times people get confused in society, you know?
That's right. And this story, the headline reads, and you'd think this is almost like a story from just the movies, you know, or something like that. But this is a WABC piece, so you're talking about Long Island, and we're, you know, into Suffolk County. Now, Suffolk is a kind of sheep as well, but I don't think they have many sheep there, except for the people there, the sheep that are getting sheared. The headline reads, Suffolk County District Judge Who Admitted Being Cereal. Now, that's not the kind you eat. This is a different kind of cereal. Cereal underwear stealer suspended. Yeah. So you got a New York chief judge signed a decision ordering this district court judge to be suspended without pay. And you say, why? Well, the guy was had certain urges, and he'd run across the street to his neighbor and steal the lady's undergarments, you know, you know, it's just kind of a weird story, but you'd think a story like this, CNN would be all over, you know, Sam, I mean, they seem to like this kind of stuff, but maybe this guy's just not, well, he might be their kind of guy, and,
well, and I don't really understand how this is, because let me just understand, this guy finally got suspended, right?
Yep.
But they tell you that he's a serial offender? Is that what they say, Kurt?
That means he's been doing this for a while, apparently, right?
So how come he didn't get suspended before?
I guess because he's a judge, Sam, and you know how they kind of get special, you know, stuff, if you will, special treatment.
Uh-huh. Now, this guy's name is Robert Cicale. Or is that how you say it, Kurt?
Yeah, C-I-C-A-L-E.
Is that Cicale? How would
married,
you pronounce that?
I guess Cicale. I mean,
anyway, all I'm telling you is this like is sick.
Yes, that's right.
All right, now he literally breaks into his neighbor's house and steals her underwear. This is a serial offense going on here. Now you're saying the guy's married to somebody else, right?
He's a married father of three young children, and he's accused of sneaking into a home across the street, stealing the underwear of a 23-year-old woman who lives there with her parents. He reportedly knew the girl when she worked as an intern at the Islip Town Attorney's Office when he used to work there. In his confession, he said he stole the underwear upon feeling urges. He admitted that on several occasions he entered the home, opened her hamper, and took underwear. He's written a letter of apology to the victim and also provided a written confession. So, anyway, it's a weird story, huh, Sam?
Well, again, this is an example where I don't think this guy should be a judge, but I do hope he goes back and repents and gets some help and... You know, I hope that he can go back to his wife. If you get an urge, he should go to his wife, Kurt. I know that sounds crazy.
That's exactly right. Imagine that.
You know, there you go. All right. Anyway, what a weird story. But again, you know, you wonder why we have the problems we have in America. We have in America, right? Well, this is part of the reason we got an immoral nation. All right. Now, I don't know how to discuss this. What's this movie called, Kurt? Chappaquiddick? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's the name. Chappaquiddick.
I don't really know what that is, but let's talk about this.
Well, what you've got, Sam, is many years ago, there was a guy named Kennedy, Ted Kennedy. And this is way back in 69. Were you born then? I can't remember.
Yes,
sure,
sir.
But
that was when we went to the moon, too, my friend.
Was that when you were just barely born that year?
I was two.
Or was it the year before? Oh, you were two. Anyway, so in 69.
How old was Kurt Cobain back then?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was an old timer. But anyway, the Teddy Kennedy and this lady, Mary Jo Kopechne, I think is how you say it, spent a little time together. Mary Jo ended up at the bottom of this, what's called Lake Chappaquiddick. Now, you typically don't want to bring this up if you're like CNN or, you know, anybody else. Anyway, finally now, what is this, 40, let's see, anyway, it's a lot of years since then. Somebody's had the courage to make this into a movie, Sam. I mean, just imagine that. And this is where it seems like the movies every so often, they actually give us something and get it right. But you can learn a little history here. And apparently somebody put a little pressure on this studio CEO that wanted to do this movie to not release the film. And, I mean, you're probably shocked about this, but they went ahead, Sam, and now some folks are learning a little bit more about our good buddy Ted Kennedy. You know, of course, it's after he died, but, you know, anyway, at least sometimes people can learn the truth.
Yeah, they say this. Right? They say, finally, Americans will be given the whole truth, the full truth, and nothing but the truth about what happened the night Senator Ted Kennedy left an innocent woman to drown in a car while he left the scene of the accident.
Yeah, and imagine, Sam, if this were different. And imagine if instead of Ted Kennedy, it was Ron Paul or Rand Paul.
Well, what
Paul
we're
going to
do is
Mike
we're
going to
attack
Lee
Ben Carson because his wife
right.
and the staff ordered a little bit too much expensive of a dining set or whatever it is. Right?
Good point.
I mean, it's just like out of control. Anyway, I don't know if we'll get the truth on this, Kurt. Did they not publish this movie a long time ago and now they're publishing it, or did they not cave? What's the real story?
Well, they never made a movie like this before, Sam. But see, this is, you know, at least.
So who tried to get them not to do it?
It doesn't say. It just says.
So I want to know who the culprits of evil are.
Powerful people pressured the studio not to release the film.
Can you get the studio folks to come on the radio with us and let's talk about this and drill in a little bit and get to the bottom of it?
We invite you, if you know the facts, come on with us anytime.
Sure. You got to hunt those people down.
What you see, usually they just don't want to talk on the records.
Yeah, but a lot of good people that are defying the odds might, Kurt.
Good point.
So our hope is that they do, and our hope is that it's a true story and that we get to the bottom of it and we know the truth. Better late than ever, right,
yeah,
Kurt?
That's exactly right, Sam.
And maybe it'll act as a deterrent for things like that happening in the future.
Yeah, maybe. You know, we'll have justice for all.
But I'll pray for Ted Kennedy's soul even so, Kurt.
Good point.
You know.
Yeah.
That's just how I kind of do the terrorism thing.
That's right. That's the way you do
it. Poor woman drowned in the car. What a tragic situation. It got covered up by, you know, the mainstream press primarily, didn't it, Kurt?
Well, it just never got covered, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how it was like that. These days, it's a little tough to cover up everything because you've got so many sources, right?
Yeah, the new media is taking center stage, but they're still doing a pretty good job of covering up Seth Rich, though, now. Let's tie those two together and get to the bottom of that dude. I'm telling you right now. We got a lot of work cut out for us. You know, we got to go against even the family of Seth.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
Because they want to sue us if we try to bring it up.
Well, yeah, it's pretty amazing. But bottom line is, hopefully folks are still hammering on that.
Amen.
Try to get the truth.
Hey, Kurt, how many states have we talked about that are involved in good news today? Several, right?
Quite a few, yeah.
We're going to add another one to the list. How about that?
Cool.
Liberty Roundtable live in mere seconds on your favorite talk station.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we search for good news whenever we can find it. And man, today we've got actually quite a bit of it. From folks building the border wall and people working on, you know, making sure you can have the right to keep and bear arms and defend yourself, to states giving away land and the government getting out of the property business and letting, you know, people do that, and too many jobs all around the place and everybody's wondering what they're going to do with it and that kind of stuff, getting the truth out about scandals that have taken place, the light of transparency. Now we're going to Dateline West Virginia, Kurt, with some good news, huh?
Well, that's right. It's a Breitbart piece, and the headline reads, West Virginia Governor Signs Food Stamp Work Requirements Bill into Law. Now, apparently, Sam, you know, the federal government has actually changed the rules, and they say that federal law mandates that work requirements be implemented nationwide. I mean, imagine making people work when you give them something, you know, but pay. I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, you know, think about it at your job. Just tell your boss, look, I just want you to give me a check. I'm not going to show up, and see how far that works. But anyway, at least federal law now mandates that people have to work for what they give. Now, they do say, Sam, though, they allow states to obtain waivers. That means, I guess you could say King's X, I'm not going to follow this. For individual counties, they say if their 12-month average unemployment rate goes above 10%, or if the 24-month average unemployment rate is 20% more than the national average. Now, they say, however, the counties can no longer use the waivers under the new law. So, I mean, they're making people go back to work. I guess in West Virginia, they say 46 out of their 55 counties had waivers that exempted them from having to comply with federal guidelines that mandated that able-bodied adults without dependent children have to work or volunteer to receive benefits. But the bottom line is, Sam, things are a-changing, and folks, or residents, as they call them in this story, between the ages of 18 and 49, who participate in what's called the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, they got to work or volunteer for a minimum of 20 hours a week. Now, that still only leaves them like 140 hours to sleep and, you know, play video games, but, you know, at least it's a start, right, Sam?
Yeah. What do you think of this, Kurt? You like this?
Well, frankly, I'd like to go a lot further. Just, you eliminate the government, you know, handouts and let the private sectors, the churches and those people take care of those who need extra help, the people, you know, your neighbor, you know, between the two of you or three of you, you help out somebody who needs some help and not have the government do it. But I will say this, this is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, you know? I think so too. And I certainly would like to get government out of it and let the, you know, real charitable organizations, as you mentioned, be involved there. I think that's the ultimate solution. In the meantime, though, hey, at least you got a West Virginia governor saying, hey, if you're going to get a handout from government, you're going to work. And you know what? For all those who can, I think should. And I think that's one of the big problems today is that, you know, a lot of people believe they don't need to work. And we make it possible for them not to work. And I personally believe that work brings dignity. Dignity brings hope. Hope brings, you know, all kind. You just start to back into this life that's meaningful. And what you do is you take away people's hope and people's opportunity and people's spirit and people's drive and people's self-reliance. You deny people that. It's a serious tragedy.
Yeah, there's a thing they call the Ten Commandments, and it says, 6 days shalt thou labor. I think
does it say that in the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, I mean, imagine that, Sam. It's like the work, even though it's a four-letter word, I mean, we've embraced so many four-letter words in our society today.
W-O-R-K.
Yeah, this is a four-letter word that you ought to embrace.
Now, let me help you with the Ten Commandments so people understand. The Ten Commandment that Kurt's talking about is, thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. But in the details surrounding that, in other words, if you read the whole Ten Commandments, not just the line items, if you will, then you'll see the details where Kurt's talking about. Right, Kurt? Mm-hmm. I just want people to put it in context so they understand.
Yeah, good point.
Because most people, when they think of the Ten Commandments, they don't think 6 days shalt thou labor. Unless you know it well enough to know that it's in the text, it's in the context of the keep the Sabbath day holy point of one of the Ten Commandments, right?
Yeah, and some people think it meant that God was trying to punish us because, you know, I mean, make us work instead of just constantly sitting on the beach.
And all we'd have to do is mandate a one-day work week and would be good by government, Kurt, and you could just circumvent God's intent. You know? See, that's what we seem to think in so many things, right?
Good point.
It's tragic, folks. Yeah. I believe work's a good thing. I don't believe it's a bad thing. In fact, we do the radio broadcast 6 days a week, Kurt. But you know what we do on the seventh day?
We rest.
See? Yes, we do. We don't do the show. Yeah. We go to church and spend time with our families and get a little more sleep and spend time in my opinion, more spiritual pursuits, for example, studying the gospel of Jesus Christ, serving our fellow men, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just crazy.
wacky stuff.
Now, Kurt, I mentioned to you this over and over and over and over. People always tell me, oh, Sam, can you tell me how many listeners you have? And can you quantify this and verify that, and confirm this and prove that? And I'm like, guys, that doesn't exist. And they say, oh, yes, there is, Sam. Don't you know about? And people just try to teach me all day long about this, Kurt. And I can't take it anymore. More evidence that I'm correct.
Yeah, which one do you want? You've got the NBC one or the fake numbers?
Well, let's do the fake numbers first, Kurt.
All right. So the Washington Times had this piece. I think I found it at WorldNet Daily. But the headline reads, fake numbers, March crowd size inflated. Ooh. Subheadline, anti-gun rally actually one quarter of organizers claim. The Washington Times is the source. March for Our Lives was big, just not nearly as big as organizers said it was.
Hate that.
Multiple, yeah, doggone it. Says multiple media outlets reported that the Saturday gun control rally in D.C. drew more than 850,000 protesters, citing March organizers, which. When they say march, they don't mean the month. They mean these people who marched, which would have surpassed the massive 2017 Women's March by more than 300,000. The problem is that two separate expert analyses using aerial imaging and photographs put the march crowd in the 200,000 range, or about a quarter of the widely touted 850,000 figure. Now, you wonder how they came up with this. It says, digital design and imaging service in Falls Church, Virginia, estimated the crowd...
Stop. Even when they come back now and tell you they were wrong on their 800,000 and they estimate it to be a fourth, that's just an estimation even, Kurt. It's probably estimated
exactly
still high.
Right. Good point. They say estimated the peak crowd. That means guys who were eating at lunch and they walked out of there goes, who's out here? You know, they're kind of the peak crowd. At 202,796, they say it's got a 15% margin of error. Now, I don't know why.
Do you think the margin of error might have error, Kurt?
Siri, go back to sleep. I think so. You know, it's
15%. It's interesting. They come out with 96 too. Of all the numbers, they don't round it off. They're like, oh, 96. That makes you feel like it's accurate, right?
Yeah, that's right. And this is all according to CBS News, Sam. But
it was NBC that lied, right? Tried to fake it and got caught.
Well, that's right, Sam. That's what they say. You know, the Julio Rosas is
the
author
there. So I got a
question.
If they can't really get a reality on crowd sizes, they lie, and then it's one quarter of, and then it's estimated at that. You think they can know how many people are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, Kurt? It's kind of like how they tell you what the weather's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to rain unless it doesn't.
It might unless it doesn't.
It's not going to rain unless it does. You know, this kind of it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
But it gets
worse. You know exactly how many people watch Roseanne, you know?
Yeah, well, everybody's watching Roseanne, Kurt. You know that.
Yeah, right.
All right. Now, I guess there's another headline, too, that relates to this very same topic. It says, fraudulent web traffic continues to plague advertisers and other businesses. Now, Kurt, what are they talking about here? I've been telling people forever that these are fraudulent web traffic numbers. And everybody went, oh, Sam, come on. All you got to do is get a hold of the folks over there at Nielsen Ratings and you can get the facts.
Believe
Sam, on your web streams, doesn't it count? Don't you have hit counters and stuff? Can't you know? And I'm like, no, I think it's baloney. I think it's bogus. Well, we'll drill into exactly why they're admitting it's bogus for the umpteenth time. And then people want to run around and tell me that they know and that I just don't know, Kurt. But I submit to you that I do know, and I'm proven right literally almost every day with the fraud going on. We'll talk about that and Facebook in mere seconds on your radio.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this will work. Guess who's going to have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. But you know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Now let me get this straight. Fraudulent web traffic continues to plague advertisers and other businesses. So Russia is tampering with Facebook, and it's this big old scandal. Of course, there's no vote fraud going on. Got that? But there is web traffic fraud they're admitting to. And, Kurt, Adobe found that 28% of website traffic is likely came from bots and other what they call other non-human signals. Now, Kurt, they tried to make fun of...
Only 28%, though, Sam. I mean, they got it exactly now. Everything is all up and up, and now you can trust their numbers. I mean...
Until the next scandal comes out, then they'll tell you they're going to fix it again. Okay, this is what I'm talking about, Curtis. Just full of scandal. And the problem is, I tell people, you can't know what the web traffic is. And everybody's like, well, Sam, can't you just, you know, get Nielsen ratings? Or you know, can't you get Arbitron? Or can't you, you know, Sam, can't you count your web streams? Yeah, I can count some of those things. I'm not stupid. I can put web counters in there. But I submit to you that how do you know when it's a robot that hits your thing 50,000 times?
Good point.
You don't know. How do you know when it's faked? How do you know when a stream might be playing and people are listening to the radio, but there's nobody there? Versus how do you know when it's playing in an office of 50 people?
Good point. Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
Okay, how do you know if it's a stream that an individual is listening to in their car versus it's being broadcast on another radio station or a rebroadcast stream that's got 100, 1,000 listeners? You don't even know. And anybody who tells me they know don't know what they're talking about, technically speaking. They don't. And I'll take anybody on this. And when you see that they're like, oh, we got the crowd size wrong. But then the right number is their estimation, right, Kurt? The wrong one's bad. The right one's an estimation. Then you go, okay, these people are a joke, Kurt. All right, so Google now loses Android battle, Kurt. This is related, by the way.
Well, yeah, you know, I figured these tech ones are, you know, ones you could teach us about, Sam. Do you think, and the headline on this one, the rest of it says, Google loses Android battle and could owe Oracle billions of dollars. Now, most of us, you know, have heard of Google and probably Android. Some of us don't even know what Oracle is.
Oracle's a massive database company that writes ERP systems and all this kind of stuff. And it got bought out by a company called NetSuite. What's
you
ERP?
Said ERP systems. Yeah,
you got to look that up on Google, Kurt, so you know what an ERP is. Come on.
I just figured you. That's all right. Just bring it to the kitchen table.
No,
for
just
us.
Look up ERP software, and you can tell people what that means, and then I'll put it on the kitchen table. But here's the deal. When you want to keep track of your inventory and your finance and your all your different stuff in your business, an ERP system usually sits at the center of it all. Okay. And it's a database that keeps track of your customers.
Oh, that was invented by old Wyatt Earp. You know, that's ERP. You know, I remember Wyatt Earp. He is back in the days, you know, back in the cowboy days, Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah. He was doing software, buddy.
It stands for ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
NetSuite is the author.
All right. Well, NetSuite's not really the author. NetSuite's just one of the ERP providers.
Yeah. Yeah, there you
go. So an ERP system is NetSuite. Another one, for example, is Great Plains. Another one is SAP. Another one is... Okay, these systems, and I'll put it on the kitchen table, they're at the center of your company, and they keep track of your inventory and your customers and your logistics and your accounting and your inventory and your packaging. And they keep track of all this, your invoicing, your accounts payable and receivable on the accounting side. They do all these things for you. Just-in-time inventory. They connect you to outside systems and EDI, which is another term you can go look up if you want. Electronic data interchange. I'll give you that one for fun.
Thank you.
Anyway, all I'm telling you is these things. So bottom line, though, is that Google loses Android battle and could owe Oracle billions of dollars. Why? Because, again, it's at this Android operating system. And at the heart of it, it gets very complicated. But suffice it to say, Google might owe a bunch of cash. Now, my question would be this, Kurt. How many people are using Android? And Google can't even tell you, Kurt.
Good point.
But they created Android. How does that work? Same way it works with their estimating crowd sizes to correct the actual fake numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Same way the fraudulent web traffic rolls forward. Now, Facebook, they told you that it was like 38 million people got affected, Kurt. Wrongfully by this scandal where this, Cambridge Analytica or whatever stole the data or whatever. All that's a big lie, Kurt. They didn't steal the data. They legally took it based on the contracts and the loopholes that Facebook had. Well, now Facebook had to admit they lied on that first estimated number, Kurt. Now they've increased the number to 87 million. 87 million hit by Cambridge Analytica. Kurt, do you realize the first number was an estimate and it was wrong?
It might go up from here.
Do you know the second number is an estimated number and it will be wrong? You want to know what the real number is, Kurt?
Who knows?
Well, I'll tell you how you can know. You can say the top number would be how many Facebook users Facebook has, which is like 2 billion.
That would be the most.
That is correct.
Although, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. And you could back into Instagram is owned by Facebook, too. And so now you got to talk about overlap users.
Good point.
And who uses both and which is a subset of which and how many unique users are relate to each one of them. And you could back into an analytics discussion of, you could create formulas and figure all this out. But the bottom line is, Kurt, I submit to you that all 2 billion are subject to scandal.
Ooh, imagine that.
And even Mark Zuckerberg admitted as such, Kurt.
Ooh.
So there you have it. Now, I just want to know, can you give me actual numbers on that, Kurt? See, and that's what these people are asking, and they act like I'm this Neanderthal that I don't understand technology, and if I just knew that they could do that these days, then it would be like, cool, and I'd get it. But I'm telling you right now, it's a fraudulent scandal of epic proportions. Now, credit card companies are getting hacked left and right too, Kurt. Did you see this? So let me make a statement to be very bold on this. If you have not been hacked yet, you will be.
Yeah.
Write that down for a second and think about the repercussions of what I'm saying to you. If you have not already been hacked yet, you will be.
Ooh.
I'm just telling you, that's the reality of this whole discussion. And they have no idea. They admit as many as 87 million might be hit by Cambridge Analytica, but they act like hit by it. Like, Cambridge just did this crazy, unauthorized drive-by and stole your data, Kurt, from them. It's a lie.
Right.
Number one, they knew about this over 2 years ago, Kurt.
Oh, darn.
Number two, they didn't do anything to correct it either, Kurt.
Yeah.
Number three, it was their system that was exploited legally to do this. Otherwise, do you see Cambridge Analytica and Facebook folks going to prison, Kurt?
No.
Or do you see Mark going, I take full responsibility for this. I built the system. I'm completely responsible, and I'm going to fix it.
Yeah, and he's not going to prison.
Trust you, me, and use Facebook. And if you really hate Facebook, why don't you just move to Instagram? We own that, too. Okay, I mean, this is the kind of bogus stuff these people tell you. Okay? I'll give you one way to get never hacked. Are you ready, Kurt?
Yeah. Don't ever put anything on the computer.
Don't put anything in any system anywhere ever.
There you go.
But then you know what? You still might
live
get hacked.
Live under a rock.
Nope, you still might get hacked. You want to know why?
Go ahead.
Because somebody else might put it in a system on your behalf and you might not realize.
That's right.
You can look at an example. You go to the doctor and they put a bunch of stuff into their computer. You go to the grocery store and they say, sir, can I get your phone number to get you a discount on your grocery bill?
Yeah, that's right.
Boom. Okay, I'm just telling you, it is impossible. If you have not been hacked yet, you will be. Write that down, because I'm telling you, that's the truth of the era in which we live, Kurt.
Yep.
Okay, and I'm not trying to be negative, but they can't count the people. They have no idea. All right, now Donald Trump's in the news, and they're attacking him for creating a trade war. And I agree that he's going to create a trade war if he's not very careful, Kurt, because there's an intentional, appropriate, legitimate use, constitutionally speaking, of tariffs. But I submit to you that Donald's not using it for that necessarily that purpose. He's not paying for the proper role of limited government. He's using it as a wedge as he negotiates with nations, and I think it's very dangerous the way he's using it. But Donald responds to the critics. And the headline says, Trump brushes off trade war. When you're already $500 billion down, you can't lose, he says, Kurt. I'm serious.
I mean, I saw one other one that kind of goes along with this. It was like, what? Trade war? We already lost this a long time ago, you know, to China. If you're worried about us,
yes,
you know, losing,
and I think those statements are funny, and I think it's true that we're way down, and we have been for literally decades, and we've lost trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. There's no doubt about all that to be true, but it can get worse, Kurt. Let's make no mistake. Okay. For the most part, the American people have been insulated from any problems, trade wars, real war. We've been insulated from a lot of this for a long, long time.
Because we have fiat money.
That's part of the reason. Right? Part of the reason is we've been a God-fearing people in the past, too.
Good point.
And we're basically jettisoning that, and obviously the protection's going away as a, you know, reality. Now, can you measure that for me, Kurt? You can measure everything, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
Get me numbers on that, would you please?
I'm working on it. Yeah, it's
because you know nowadays it's in the digital world, Kurt. You can know everything.
You can do that. Yeah,
that's right
for sure. Yeah.
Now this is what I'm talking about, though. But think about this for a second. So it can get a lot worse, and I think that Donald is using these trade discussions a little bit wrongheadedly. Meaning, we're not talking about paying for the legitimate, proper role of government. We're not literally using this to, you know, carefully advocate for the free market. It's being used kind of as a wedge between nations. In other words, hey, this nation gets this favored status. They don't have the fine, but this nation's going to be raked across the coals. And the more we use this as a bludgeoning tool or a stick and a carrot as we meddle in the affairs of other nations and as we create foreign entanglements around this trade discussion, I submit to you the worst it's going to get. I think Donald's going down the wrong road here, Kurt. I support the tariff idea. I am a little disappointed in how it's being used and what road we're going down. And I don't think it's the way we ought to go, Kurt. That's just my opinion. Any comment on this?
Yeah, I would give him some suggestions. You know, number one here, you know, let's look at country by country and say, hey, if the Chinese are, you know, telling us that if we bring our cars into there, they're going to charge us 20%, then it seemed like we'd charge them 20% if they wanted to bring their
cars. Well, so I've already given this suggestion that we ought to match all the other nations. And China beat us to this punch already, Kurt, by the way.
Right.
So we've already lost the moral high ground. But here's what the Chinese said.
At the same time.
Go ahead.
At the same time, I would just simply say to them, look, and we're also going to eliminate all of our other taxes so that we can free our people in America and only have our government run on constitutional tariffs. And boy, just imagine how you free the American people then, you know. Wow.
That would be if you understood the Constitution and if you were genuine in your attempts, Kurt.
Well, good point, Sam.
So the Chinese beat us to the punch, though. What they said is, well, we're just going to match the abusive tariffs you're putting on us, Kurt. Why didn't we start with that view?
Good point.
And why don't we then talk about tariffs and it's a legitimate way to pay for the proper role of limited government in America and we're going to reduce taxes? And okay, it's all about how it's pitched and promoted. And I think Donald's making some huge mistakes on this. And if we're not very careful, it will turn into a trade war that we don't want. I guess teachers can't afford Miami rents. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Liberty Roundtable Live.